35 years, Tuesday, woohoo! Yeah, we're excited about that. Yeah, we might actually exchange gifts. I don't think we will, but we might. We might. All right, moving on. 2 Peter, did I say 2 Peter already? No, all right, well, that's the one. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse, let's say 2. We'll say 2. All right, here we go. See if I can get through this today. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to open our eyes that we could behold wondrous things out of thy law. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Woo! It's been a while since I looked at old 2 Pete. Pretty good character. Interesting bird of all kinds, I'm sure. Peter was the one that had the big mouth in the Gospels, if you remember. Got himself in a lot of trouble, always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And at the end, he had to stand up and see Christ, the risen Christ, and be corrected. And then we've seen as his life continued, he wrote two books, 1 and 2 Peter. And boy, they are packed full of information. I like the writings of Peter because he's a real basic, get down to it kind of guy. His vocabulary to me is very simple, very simplistic, and he puts it right on the line for us, much like the way his personality is that we see in the scriptures. And it's funny, in the Bible that I use, which is the awesome King James Version, but more important, it has a bunch of notes under it, and this particular, the Peter seemed to have a ton of notes underneath it, so I think the fellow that wrote this, the commentary, really enjoyed Peter, so it's good stuff. So God, in these verses, we see that God, in verse 3, has given us everything that we need to live life that's pleasing to him. He lays that out very clearly. He does this by providing knowledge of his son. We see that reference in verse 2 and then further into verse 4, or should I say verse 3. Knowledge of his son leads us to a life that's pleasing to God. We are told that there are great and precious promises that are given to us. And, in fact, the way that we know how to live life that is pleasing to God and receive great promises is through the Word, through the knowledge of His Son. So having knowledge of Christ is really the secret to life that is pleasing to God and to receiving great and exceedingly great promises. We are able to do all of this and become Christ-like. In verse, I think it's 4, might be the other one. Nope, it's verse 4. We're partakers of the divine nature, which is a very unusual statement because we're people. We're not gods. It doesn't mean that we become like God or God-like, but we do take on his son's characteristics. And as we study scriptures, we are promised that, in fact, They will transform us. They will give us the ability to be transformed, as we see in 2 Corinthians 3:18, Catherine. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Lord works in us to transform us into Christ-likeness. However, this is all available to us through the Word of God. Everything that we need is available in the Word of God. But we are told that we have a part in this. We're to give all diligence, all of our efforts, to add to our faith several things. I think there are seven. We are to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, and charity. So these are things that we're specifically told to add to our faith. So that means we have a role to receive the promises. We have a role in becoming Christ-like. We have a role in setting the right priorities. And this is through the Word of God that we learn about our Savior, Christ. Does that make sense? Now, God empowers us. He gives us the ability. But we have a role, and it's up to us to yield to Christ. Romans 6, right? We've learned that before. But I'd like to tell you a story and focus on one particular word that bothers me in the world today, and that is virtue, or the lack thereof of virtue. Virtue, it's a word, and I don't know how to pronounce it, as you know, because especially this one, you have to roll your tongue. I didn't take Spanish in high school. I didn't take any language. I took English. I didn't have to. Now that you have to, I think you have to take 1 year of foreign language, yes? No? Two? Depends what you're trying to do. I wish I had taken a foreign language, because it would have taught me something that I have to know so I can learn more about the Bible. So now I got to learn it. And you know how much I like doing that? Zero. Because you have to learn verbs and tenses, and we were never taught that in English, not well. So now I'm stuck trying to figure out this stuff. So I can't roll my tongue. My brother can roll his tongue, but I can't. So if I did Spanish, you know, who can roll their tongue? You know what I mean by that? What, say a Spanish word, do you roll your tongue? Anybody know any? What is it? There it is. That. I can't do it. You know the rolling? All right. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, this is word R-E-A-R-E-T-E. And it's a tongue roll, and it's erote. But the tongue roll is in the first part, arrow. I can't do it, so I won't. Erote. And that doesn't even sound like the word that I just gave you, A-R-E-T-E. I would have said erete. But it's not. It's erote. Because it's Greek. It's Greek to me. You see where you get that from? Because it is. It's, how do they talk? I don't get it. The words don't match up with the sounds. But here it is. Greek has a lot of built into it. This one single word. It's a disposition or a character trait that tends to lead to good. Disposition or a character trait that tends to lead to good. Virtue. I like what a Columbia Encyclopedia, I'm told, says. It's a quality of good in human conduct. Quality of good in human conduct. You've heard it from this pulpit. It's moral excellence. J. Vernon McGee. Have you ever listened to him walk through the Bible? He's a Southern boy. I think he's dead. That tells you how long ago it was. He used to have a radio show, and his radio show was to start in Genesis, go through to Revelation, every verse, every word, and walk through the Bible. and I can't say it the way he said it, but essentially he said, this word virtue, have the courage to excel at life. So have the courage to excel at life. There's a story of a decision that was made in business. Tell me if this person had virtue, moral excellence. So the deal is this. His company had need for a lot of electricity. I know nothing about electricity, and there was all kinds of words around this to tell you what kind of electricity. It was a lot, the kind that zaps you and kills you. All right? So within the shop, there is all kinds of electrical equipment. And in this one particular area where the juice came into the building, there was a box. And the box was meant to be locked at all times. Why? Because there's electric going in there. I don't know. I don't know what kind of box it was. I don't really care. All I know, it was a box that was meant to be locked so that nobody would go in there. Now, how did a little kid get in the box? That was the question. Because a little kid had opened the box and had touched the power, and he got juiced pretty well. He lived. But it was not very good. It really hurt. And it hurt the kid so much so that he was hospitalized for quite a while. If you touch high-powered electric, it is awful. I never did it. I've seen it, but I've never done it. I've seen it with static electricity, where a guy touched static electricity from a hook that was dangled from a helicopter, and he touched it before it was grounded, and it kaboom, and he flew off, and he was sizzling. He was smoking. That was just static, and it was quick. It's not like power. Power, you grab a hold of that stuff, and you're stuck to it. So this little kid gets juiced. Lives, but he goes to the hospital. Now, they'd start the investigation. What do you think they find? The box is not locked. Now, there's two ways to approach this. One is, the kid got the key and unlocked it somehow. Two is to accept responsibility. This president said, we're at fault. And he went on television, or TV, radio, whatever it was, and he issued an apology and said, our controls failed. We did not lock the area that the child was in. We are 100% responsible. What do you think happened with that comment on tape? They didn't even have to sue him. As a matter of fact, they did file the paperwork, and there was a huge settlement. Because the president said, we're not going to court. We don't need to go to court. We're guilty. Was there virtue expressed in that? Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's a good example of virtue. It's doing what you believe, saying what you'll do, and then doing it, and then sticking to it. There's a minor example of one where you can see the difference. And it doesn't matter what the decision is. The decision is to follow those principles which you've established for your life. And in the case of the first here, that president believed in what he was doing, and he had established protocol, guidelines, what have you, and that child was hurt because they were not followed. But the consequences he understood, and he took them. Even though he wasn't personally responsible as an individual, but as a company, they were responsible. They chose not to fight, and they did the right thing. And that company's still in business today and apparently prospering. Second situation. There was a time when this company was relatively small and the group was relatively small, and they started to really grow and see some success. So it came time to make a decision. We need a place that's bigger. Not because we want to be ostentatious, but we need to be a location that's bigger. So I think it was a 60,000 square foot location. They needed 90,000, and there was a place that was 120,000 square. Now, that's a big place. So I'll give you an idea, because none of us know what those mean until you're like, yeah, whatever. What does that lot mean? The mill down by the canal is 6,000 square foot per floor. There are four floors that are visible. Four times six is? 24,000 square feet, right? So 24,000, that's how big. Now think about that. They were in 60,000 square feet. So they roughly had three of those giant buildings, and they needed 90,000 square foot. So you're starting to get the idea how big that was? I think Gagmart over here is 100,000, 120,000 square feet. You know, you go into Walmart, and you're like, hello, it's all the way back that way. Have you gone recently? I just heard they changed the store around. That, for folks with a little bit of OCD, it gets under their skin. They didn't ask. Apparently they didn't ask another person that I know. So now the butter is not where the butter belongs. All right, so that's about 120,000 squares. So that gives you an idea. Wow, that's a big place. So they started looking. And the way I understand it, the competitor of this business offered a deal to the business, to their competitor, and said, we got 120,000 square. You can have it for X price, whatever that price was. So they thought about it, hemmed and hawed a little bit. They were in an existing building. The person that owned that building had another building, but they couldn't get that building. And it met their need. So they had 120,000 square foot over here, but they couldn't get it. The competitor was offering it to them. And then they analyzed and they said, that's a pretty good deal. So the president of that corporation said, we'll take the deal. As soon as he did that, like the next day, the fellow that owned the building with the other building said, wait a second, I have a place for you. Exactly what you need. Here's the deal, $100,000 savings, which apparently was a lot of money, you know, in this deal. So $100,000, you'll save it if you come with me over what your competitor offered. So the president said, no, I don't think so. So the fellow owned the building, they had the other building that was going to meet their need. He said, wait a second, $200,000 savings over what you're going to pay your competitor. $200,000 savings. So the president said, well, let me think about it. So the next day he goes to work and he says, I'm going to take the deal. The $200,000. Was there virtue in that decision? No. He made the deal. He sealed the deal and said he was going to take another location. That's his word. So his virtue was for sale at $200,000. The lack, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. The lack of virtue in business is incredible. Where individuals say they'll do something, and then in fact, they do it. They follow through, and virtue to this extent that the end result is good or moral excellence. And I think there's a place for it in business. I think it belongs in business. And I also obviously believe it should be a hallmark of Christianity because we're to add to our faith virtue. It's like it doesn't exist except that we have faith. It's kind of what it says to me, doesn't it? I can't add virtue to my life. I can have no moral excellence without Christ. And now I'm told to add it to my faith when I have faith in Christ. And I receive that through the study of the Word. I receive it through the study of the Scriptures. And I wonder, where might you see virtue in the Scriptures? Are there examples of virtue following what you ought to do? I just got to find it now because there it is. I put the piece of paper in there. That's why I did that. This is kind of a lead up to next week's Sunday school. So you get a little bonus here. Philippians 2. Where else? If you know anything about me, I changeth not when I teach. It takes me a long time to learn something, so I tend to go back to what I'm teaching. Stick with it. Beat it to death. That kind of thing. Because children need it. They do. Katie, they do. Over and over. How many times have you been told to make your bed? Just out of curiosity. Not that you don't do it. I'm just curious. How many times have you been told? Once a day? Every day? Pretty much every day. My children heard every day. I finally gave up on Zach somewhere around when he was 13 or so. Make your bed, pick up your dirty clothes. Every day. Just don't make the area just... Though that looks pretty good when you're kind of, you know, if it's a thick comforter. But we digress. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who in being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has exalted him and given the name which is above every name. So we see it in Christ. We see it in Christ in his life. There's nothing that I would have wanted to do in Christ's life there at the end. None of that stuff. That wasn't for me. That's not my bag. You know, the whole beard ripped off the face thing, get beat, and you know, all that, crucified. But here's Christ. He is the creator of the universe, and he humbles himself even to the obedience of death on the cross. This is virtue. Moral excellence. Why? Now, you can say why, I suppose, and you could say because he loved us. You could say why and all that, but why did Christ determine to press forward and obey and take the cross and not just, nah, I don't think so? Because his Father had a plan. And his plan was exactly that from the foundations of the earth. We're told that there's a plan, and I lost my note, so I'm going to have to make it up as I go along here for that one. The whole idea was for Christ to take this on. So he obeyed his Father. So where do we find virtue in Scripture? It's in Christ's life. We find it in Christ's life. There's another fella who didn't have that virtue. Can you think of who I'm thinking of? Right, say it so we can hear it. Judas. Ay, ay, ay. There's a guy. Now, here's a guy that was counted among the 12. You imagine that? Handpicked by Jesus Christ. Follows him around. What was his role in the 12? Treasurer. I hate being treasurer. I hate it. So treasurer, why? Because you got to count the money. I don't care. I hope it's all there, that kind of thing. But this guy counted the money. In fact, he got pretty upset when, what's her name? Mary. What did she do? Poured the oil all over him. That was expensive stuff. That was like, I don't know, taking the whipped cream and just wasting it on like peanut butter ice cream. What a waste. Oh, when you could have had it on a strawberry chocolate or vanilla, never chocolate, vanilla ice cream, all separate. Oh, love it. We made, we didn't make it, but they made this thing yesterday. You should try one of these. I don't know what it's called. What's it called? Graham. You ruined it. It's a Graham. It's a cloud cake, and it's out of, I don't want to know what's in it. But it's a light and fluffy thing, and then they put whipped cream all over it and strawberries or whatever it was. Wow. What was I telling you about that for? I forgot, but it was so good. There was a path. Oh, the oil. So wasting that and giving it to, like, children first. No, I had to eat some of that. Then we gave it to the children, the leftovers. That's the way it's done. So Judas was all upset about that. They gave away all this oil. And then he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. All the friendship, all that, to take all those folks over to where Jesus was alone and betray him. No virtue. None. And we would have done the same thing. We would have done the same thing. And we will do the same thing if we don't study the scriptures to have a picture of Christ in our lives. We're to put on the mind of Christ. How better to do it except through his mind? Where's his mind? The word of God, right? Do you ever think of it that way? These are Christ's thoughts. These are his thoughts on paper. Occasionally, I'll go to an auction, very rarely, and I'll buy something, and again, rarely, or I'll go to a house that's foreclosed on, unfortunately, more often, and they'll have their stuff in the house because they're dead or they're bums, and they don't take their stuff with them. So we take the house, and there's boxes and pictures, and in there occasionally there's letters. I got one from the 1800s, and it's just a letter from a brother to a sister. And it's just their thoughts are recorded, and you kind of can read into it a little bit, and you say, this is the kind of thing they were thinking. This is what was important to them. This is, you know, it's part of their life. It's an intimate portrayal of their life. And we've seen a couple books written based on the diaries of people that they wrote privately, and then after they're dead, people will dig it out and they'll throw it out there. And that's their intimate thoughts. It's who they are. We have before us exactly that in the scriptures. We have exactly that in the scriptures. We have the mind of Christ expressed in words here. I was going over to a verse, and then I got detracted. And one of the things that we try to do in Sunday school class, adult fellowship, whatever you want to call it, is to take time to look at the words that we have on the paper and try to make sense of them and see something a little bit more than just words on a paper. Hopefully they come alive and speak to us and work in us. And the thing about this is, Christ will get it done if you honor this. How can I add virtue to my life when I would make the decision that one pres made to take the cheaper offer? Actually, I wouldn't, but some time ago, I might have. I hope I wouldn't make that decision to shaft the guy that gave me the deal over a lower deal and play him against each other. I'll play them against each other up front, and I'll even tell them. But I'll do that. I'll do it right up front, but not behind their backs. That's the whole idea. Virtue is moral excellence. Not that that's excellent, like, oh, you're so wonderful. No, it's I've determined a path, and what I've determined that path is based on what Christ has done in me. So the question is, how does this work? As you study the scriptures, it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Since this is, seems to be my favorite book of late, go over to Philippians 2. I'd like to start back where we talked about putting on the mind of Christ. He was obedient. And then as a result of his obedience, what does God do? Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. If you had taken the Revelation class, you would have seen that come to fruition in the great white throne judgment. Every single knee, every creature says that Christ is the Lord. Even the great enemy of God, Satan, admits and says Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Because Christ followed the plan, because he had done exactly what the Father had laid out, we see this, that God has highly exalted him. You could see that in Colossians 1. Exalted him, placed him in a place of glory, gave him a name which is above every name. And everybody will worship Christ. Everybody will worship Christ. I don't know how that looks in eternity without Christ, but I believe, based on what I see in Revelation and mostly in the Gospels, there's memory in hell, and you will remember everybody that brought Christ to you. I believe that. The guy that was in the parable, that's a real example of a person in hell, he said, go tell my brothers, save them from this where I am. He knew he had it presented to him, eternal life, and he rejected it. So everybody's going to worship Christ at some point. Everybody. They're going to acknowledge it. But go on, verse 12. Therefore, or wherefore, my brother, beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's God that works in us and gets it done. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, you'll see it again. Of course, faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. God will do exactly what he said. And he has empowered us such that we can fulfill 2 Peter 2:1-5, and we can add to our faith all these things, these seven elements. All we have to do is read the scripture and study and see his son and follow that example. And he'll empower us to do it. What's going to stand in your way? That's the question. What's going to stand in your way? And the answer is already there. The corruption through your strong desires or through your lust. That's what's going to stand in your way. So you're sitting here today and you're trying to listen and you're trying to get it, right? However, what's there that's gnawing at you and says, anything? Well, maybe I should get a puppy. I wonder what I could be doing out there today. You know what would be really nice? If we would mow that area. What if we cut down this tree? Isn't it funny? Do you do this? Because I do it. I admit it. You sit there and all of a sudden, you're sitting here and you're in church and you're like, okay, I'm going to learn something today, right? And even if you got notes, you're sitting here, you're going to learn something. Isn't there something that always seems to try to distract you? And the stuff that you come up with is incredible. The stuff I remember that I didn't do at work. Oh, man, I didn't make that phone call. I just recalled, talking to you today, right now, there's a guy, he eats cereal when he talks to you. He's a shareholder. And he called me, and I didn't call him back yet. And I forgot. I just totally forgot I was supposed to call him back. And what he does is eat cereal, and he talks to me over breakfast, wherever he's working. And he owns like 100 shares or something. Every quarter he calls me, and he just wants to hear whatever. So I forgot to call him. Now, I remember this now. Why do I remember it now? That's the strong desires are coming in. The little things, your bent, whatever that is, that we see in James, whatever it is that you really want to do, that's what comes in. Isn't that funny? That's what's going to stop you from being Christ-like. That's what's going to happen. Might be you lose your temper a lot. Is that what's going to sneak in? Is that what's going to stop you? It might be that you just, let's see, maybe it's an authority thing. I don't want to listen to anybody. I know what I got to do, and I'm going to do it my way. Okay. You see it? What's going to stop you from, one, coming to Christ, two, becoming like him? I won't have any friends. You know, it's funny. I had, in high school, somewhere, my parents got divorced, which was awful, and then we moved. This is pathetic, but my parents bought a bar, and when we moved to the bar, and now, instead of being in rural nowhere, where you had to ride your bike everywhere to get anywhere, now we're in the middle of the activity in Fonda. Woo! Whatever. Well, my parents, the stepfather and mother. So, confusion everywhere. So, we're in the middle of the metropolis now, all 800 people. We're right in the middle. Main Street, America. Now, I can walk to school. Now, I can walk to the Dairy Queen. It's idle hour. Ice cream. Everything's there. Well, you know, as far as 800 people. There's no movies or anything like that. But it's the idea. And people were there that I went to school with. Suddenly, I got friends. I always wore dress shoes and dress pants, always to school, till my stepfather came and I got jeans and work boots. That's what was in then. I tied them, unlike the other guys that left them untied, because that was what was in. You're supposed to keep them untied. What's that? That was lit, totes. That was lit, yeah. So suddenly I had people starting to talk to me that had never talked to me. In fact, they were the people that put my brother in a locker, would lock him in the locker. So this is a crew that, you know, I desired to get in with that group. Oh, really? Okay. So suddenly people are starting to talk to me. So I had friends. I had friends for the first time. And it was incredibly pathetic because I didn't. And now I did. I didn't recognize it like that. But today, out of that entire group, that whole group for 4 years, I count in this one hand the ones that are actually close, remotely close to friends, that I could probably less than five that I could count on. Isn't that something? So that strong desire to have that, all for naught. So that's my bent, is that's my, you know, try to get in. I've learned to control that quite a bit. I don't really try to get in anymore because it doesn't work. So what is it that's going to stop you? A lot of times it's the whole friend thing, especially with young kids. If I talk about Christ, they won't like me anymore. I won't have any friends. They're not going to understand. that's the sacrifice that we have to make compared to Christ. But kids don't understand that. So what do you do as a parent? What do you do as a parent where you have kids? They don't understand that. And they're all sitting here hearing me, but they're not really listening. But here it is. What do you do as a parent? Hopefully you're listening. What do you do? You want the answer? I know the answer. I believe it's scriptural, too. S-Y-N in Philippians, in joint participation with, is throughout Philippians, we figured about 13 times that we've identified. There's some cool things happening there. That's the answer. Your kids need to be in joint participation with you as you serve and as you follow Christ. It's the only way it works. That's the answer. And I'm not talking about making them come to church. Sure, they should be made to come to church. Absolutely. Because what are they going to do if you leave them in the house? Think about this. Which one haven't I picked on? Liam. Right? Imagine leaving Liam home alone in the house when he was 2 years younger. Like Ethan now. Yeah, all right, we'll use Ethan. Tell me right now he wouldn't have a rope fastened to the ceiling and swinging through the trees in the house. These three right here, add the other one, Tucker. Imagine leaving these guys to their own devices. Can you imagine what would happen in the house? So, yeah, bring them to church, absolutely, for nothing more than control. But it's more than that. It's joint participation with. It bears fruit. It won't always work. Because they're independent. They're going to make their own decisions. And it's not you, by the way, if they determine to go a different direction. Never think it's you. It's not. God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's an individual choice. Individual choice. So your children, you do all you can, but bring them alongside and guide them and have them serving too. Have them participating. And I've seen this a lot in our families, and that's frankly, that's what you need to do. Don't just make them come here. Make them come here and then encourage them. Now, I'll pick on the Martins, this group here, just for fun because they're here. And I hope it's okay. But I'm pretty sure, knowing the three girls, Justin's not old enough yet, knowing the three girls as I do, that is one big B. Whoa, he's still following me. I don't even wear cologne. Get away from me. Zach. So, me and B's don't get along. So, the three girls, knowing them as I do, maybe Curly there is different. Look at him. Somebody killed a bee. I'm going to be ducking and diving the rest of the service. Harry? All right. So, knowing those three, maybe Curly Sue's different because she's a little more independent spirited than the other two. But I have a feeling if they had said to them, Maria, what you're going to do is get up on stage and play a guitar. I don't think she'd do it. I think she'd have a hard time with that. And in fact, I'm going to guess her mother would stand in and say, no, that's not how this is going to work, Jason. Right? As a good partner should, because that would be the wrong approach. So I know there's some grace coming from Katie for Jason, because Jason, I'm thinking he would try that approach. But maybe it's the other way around, but Katie would offer some advice on that. But over time, it's not so bad, is it? It's pretty good. You did nice up there. And you're calm. There's no sweat pouring out of your face. You're going to be okay. And you're picking up on the music just as Annika is. And soon, Julie, she's been up there a couple of times with that thing. What is that? Violin. And in time, you know, it'll sound good. You know, it takes time. You should hear me play. Whew. I don't know how to play. But she's got some notes coming out of it. And that's the thing. It's coming alongside, and it's bring them along and see what you can cajole them. Is that the right term? To participate in. What's that? Cajole. Your mother corrected it. Don't worry. You'll get the right word from her. But that's the whole idea. That's the joint participation with. That's how you do it. And you just kind of encourage and bring along. Now, in the end, if they determine to take a different path when they're able to choose, rest in this. God is faithful. What he started, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he will finish it. You say, well, my kid's not walking this way or that. God will be faithful, and he will finish it. So we step back and we say, okay. I'm not saying let God be God. That's not what the Word of God says anyway. Because you can still intervene. You can still participate in their life. And you can still pray for them. And you can continue to support them in the way that you ought as parents. I know there's a real rough situation for somebody that's no longer at this church. And it's difficult. It's difficult. Everybody's off the rails. Everybody's off the rails. How do you get that back on the rail? We trust God. And in fact, they're off the rails, I think, because of the choices that they've made so that God can draw them back. So we think he's faithful. We'll continue to watch and wait. And where we can, we participate. You know, somebody that says, well, for whatever reason, they determined not to get saved. What do you do with that? Just continue to participate. Come alongside. Minister. Minister. So I want to encourage you today. God's given us everything that we need. He's given us all these promises. He's given us the Word of God, which are his very thoughts. And now we have to do something with it. And one of the things that we have to do is add virtue, moral excellence, the desire to live life well, to excel at life, and it's a life in Christ. That should be our desire. That's the new desire that's planted in us. And if we follow the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, learn of his Son, follow him, you can have success. That's the good news. Isn't that great? It is good news. For those that determine not to, but he that lacks these things, look at the terminology, is blind, for 2 Peter 1:9, blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, I wonder about people a lot because I see a lot of them. And no matter how much you help them, it seems that you never get any help. Why? Because they haven't added to their faith anything. Nothing. So they're blind. We use that term for who? Those that are blind. Can't see. Those that are lost. We use it for the unsaved. They have no idea. They're like a ship on the lake with the wind blowing, and they're just going wherever the wind blows them. And they can't see far off. You know what that really looks like? They can't plan. They don't look ahead. They're not thinking about what's going to happen in the future. Despite revelation, and I mean that in the broadest sense, despite hearing the Word of God, they still don't plan for the future and know with certainty of the destination of all those that don't place their trust in Christ. Absolute assurance. Still can't make that decision. They don't see afar off. They will not plan. And in fact, for a believer, they don't plan, therefore they'll fail, and they forgot that their old sins are forgotten. They're forgiven. They're gone. But you'll find them living in the squalor, the prodigal son, and eating the refuse, and just being miserable. Don't be a miserable person. It's no good. There's times when it happens, but don't stay there. There's no reason to be a miserable person. Press forward. And this is what happens. You lack these things. You're blind. Cannot see far off. And you've forgotten that you're purged from your old sins. So you live in the same old junk. There's a group that I won't talk to that all they do is relive the past. And now in my life, it's almost 35 years, probably 37 years since we graduated. Wow. You're still talking about a football game when you were like 17. Really? What have you done since then? Oh, you know, they got jobs or whatever. Nothing. Nothing. They've done nothing. Wow. I don't have time for that. No interest in it. Zero. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So I ask you to consider this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, put everything you got into it, to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never, look at that, fall. And for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, they made a movie, which I think is, but I don't know if it gets the point across. The song does a better job. I can only imagine. Can you imagine when you walk into the presence of Christ? Just imagine that. And what will you do? I love that song. I wish I could sing. Will I fall down on my knees? What will I do? I can only imagine. Well, I'll tell you something. What you're doing today, what you're accomplishing here on the world today that's not dedicated to you is exactly what's going to be remembered in heaven. Nothing about you will be remembered. Whatever you did for you, the stinking cars, all the stuff that we filled our houses, all that junk, none of that's going to be remembered. The job, not remembered. There's people. You know what we're doing? We're 140 years, I think it's next year. The institution's been around 140 years. Maybe it's 150. 140 years. 140. What is it, Zach? 140? Marketing. He doesn't know. Whatever, 1870. So 1870 plus 40 is 11, carry the one, something like that. So it's a lot of years. It's 150 years. So it's 150 years in 2020. Here's the point. So 150 years, is that a long time? Depends on your outlook. Some of you are near that age. Right? So just think about this. My parents, I'll go on my mother's side. My mother's name is Virginia. Her mother's name is Margaret. Her mother's name is Lottie, I think. And after that, I don't even know what their names are. That's 150 years of history. Those three combined. Not and counting for the overlap, because some of them, you know, one of them had the other one. So there's three. That's as far back as I can go. Now on the other side, whatever his name is, Doug was my grandfather. That's it. I can't go back any further. I don't even think I met the guy. And here's the pathetic part. I don't think anybody in my family knows his name. Now, where is that life? Do you see it? It's but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away forever. You say, well, my life's worth more than that. I'm not saying your life's not of value. I'm saying, in comparison to Christ, It is absolutely nothing. But here's the thing. We remember those that did for others. Why do we remember the history of people? What do I care about them? Because of what they did for others. Who's the richest guy in the world? Bill Gates, probably. How long do you think you remember his name? You might remember it. Why will you remember it? Well, it'd be for Microsoft. I mean, it goes right back. You remember because he did something for others. We use it. Phillips, you remember because he had his name on his company and made TVs. But really, when you get down to it, there's only a handful of people that we remember. Really. You don't remember any of their family members. The only one that everybody knows, Christ. And we'll remember always. Because he's the one that did everything. Our life is absolutely of no value if it's just for us. It really is zero value. Zero. Except in Christ. And that's what this is pointing to. Put something, do something more with your life than spend it on the pursuit of your happiness. It's the only thing they got wrong in the Constitution. This whole idea of the pursuit of happiness, independence, Declaration of Independence. Oh, I want to be happy. That's the only bad thing that they've written as they folded that into our government. The most important thing that we can do is be happy. What a bunch of garbage. Right? We want to do things that make an eternal difference. And I'll tell you, it's ministering. And I'll tell you, it's being more like Christ. I'll tell you, it's not building a bigger home. It's not. It's not. Many of us are fortunate enough to have them, children. There's where you start, ministering to them, spouses, minister to them, and then go forward and take that over into the world. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the Word of God. You've provided us everything that we need to live a life that's pleasing to you, that, and it's through the knowledge of your Son. And you've given us all these promises, and we can get all of those promises by adding to our faith seven attributes, and one of them, virtue. And that is moral excellence, making a decision and then sticking to it, following it through. Do what I say what I do, be the example, follow through. Lead to good. It's impossible for us to do that outside of Christ. So first we have to get saved. Then when we're saved, we can do well. There is none that does good, but when we're saved, Christ does good through us. It's those that follow Christ that make a difference in this world. The rest is all counterfeit, short-lived. So, Lord, we pray that you'd help us first to make the right decision, follow you. To receive by faith the finished work of the cross, and then step forward from there. So we pray, Lord, that you'd help us do that. Thank you so much for the fellowship of believers here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.